Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to the Chrissy Mayer and Charlie Robinson Swapcast. Woo! Yep. You can find us. Well, you can find this and me. Wow, this is interesting to do a Swapcast intro. You can find us on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And if you're listening to us right now on iTunes, please go and leave a 5-star review. I will read whatever these reviews say. I swear, like you could really write anything. For example, let me pull one up. I should have had this ready. Here we go. 5-star review. See all. Hey, Chrissy. This is just a reasonable request from Mayor McDick Cheese. I could have picked a different one. Hey, Chrissy, I was wondering if you and Riss could swap socks. Oh, God. Here we go. Could swap socks for the next 6 months and wear them under each other's arms for 35 minutes per day. I can't pay you right now, but I'm good for it. Please. Please, in all caps. Well, I said I would read the reviews.
There we go.
Thanks, Mayor McDick Cheese. This episode is also brought to you by Cushy Dreams. I want to tell you guys about Cushy Dreams. They offer a full lineup of premium smokable CBD. They specialize in extraordinary CBD-rich hemp flower, aka bud, in these cans. And also pre-roll CBD joints. And they just have this special thing now. This looks like this could be gum. You know, remember like the candy cigarettes as a kid? Except they're like these like really expertly, beautifully rolled joints. Looks perfect. Feels, smells just like weed, but it's not. It's good for the people that want to like calm down their bodies and minds without like going to La La Land. Are you a weed smoker, Charlie?
I'm a weed eater.
Oh, you're an eater. Okay.
Yes. I live here in Denver, and we have a fantastic selections available at our local dispensaries. So I am I have a coffee and donuts bar of chocolate, which is phenomenal, and gummies.
Wow. Yeah. Well, good for you. I have to have mine sent to me in a sketchy black envelope.
Hey, listen,
not sketchy.
That's true, because you're in a place that doesn't have access to it. It's crazy to me. There are people rotting in prisons, but yet I can go to the store. I can go to the weed store that's literally in the parking lot of the Walmart.
Yeah.
So how times have changed.
Colorado, man. That's the spot. Instead, I'm in New York right now, rotting away. No, it's great. It's fine. I'm sure it'll pick up. Again, this is legal CBD, legal in all 50 states. It'll ship right to you. Enjoy all the health benefits of CBD without getting high. Join the men and women who are sick of vapes and gummies, not Charlie, and want to smoke their CBD. That's Cushy Dreams. It's grown here in the USA, which is probably the best part about it. Each batch is slow cured for 2 to 4 weeks to guarantee maximum freshness and to preserve flavor and cannabinoids. And they've got different indica sativa blends, like Create, Dream, Energy, Hustle. So whatever you kind of want to do with your day, I'm kind of slowly but surely trying them all. So it's Cushy Dreams, K-U-S-H-Y, dreams.com. Use the promo code CMP. You're going to get 20% off every order, not just your first, plus free shipping. Also, this episode is brought to you by adamandeve.com. You know, Christmas has come and gone, but that doesn't mean that you have to stop coming. I feel like I'm grossing Charlie out with my reads.
No, this is great. My audience is going to be is grabbing a pen and paper right now.
You know, if Santa didn't bring you what you wanted, and if what you wanted was more orgasms, just go ahead and pick up yourself a little something. Get yourself a little January 2021 treat. Go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys for couples, toys for men, toys for women. I'm a vibe lady. Personally, you know, I'm not real big. If something's going inside me, I like it to be attached to somebody I care about. That's just me. Call me old fashioned.
That's
but
reasonable.
I like a good vibe, and they've got tons of great toys on there. Lubes, I think sex furniture, the sky's the limit. So if you go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code CMP, you could get almost any item online for 50% off plus free shipping. So get yourself a little something, something.
And if you happen to be in my audience, or anybody, or Chrissy's audience too.
I feel like we have a Venn diagram of shared audience.
We do, I think. And Miriam Hinane, who's been on my show and is a friend of Union of the Unwanted, has been on many times, as you have. She owns a company called Honey Colony. She's the director of Vanishing of the Bees. Remember that documentary with Ellen Page?
Why didn't Ellen Page just call herself Alan Page?
I don't know. She had to be Elliot, huh? She had to go and make this whole thing difficult. Well, Miriam's is great. Honeycolony.com is a fantastic place. They have bee-related goods, body care, facial care, gifts, travel kits, home and garden, anti-aging, immune system boost. They've got a little sexual health stuff in there as well. So, look, it's a small business. It's run by a great lady. Use the promo code MACRO. Check it out. I mean, hey, listen, if you've been shopping at the same places over and over again, you want to mix it up a little bit, support a small business, save yourself some money while you're at it. Promo code MACRO, honeycolony.com.
Let's get weird. Let's talk about the birds and the bees.
Yeah. Let's talk about Honey Washington, D.C. Let's talk about when you and I were setting this up. You're like, I'm gonna get on the train and go down to Washington, D.C., see what's going on there for the 6th.
Yep.
What did you see?
Oh boy, it was chill at first. It was like every other. I mean, it was like the other two Trump rallies I had gone to. I went to one in November, which I think was. Maybe it was, it had to have been right after the election. It was like the beginning of Stop the Steal, I think. And then in December, it was kind of similar along those lines. And then this March was like the March for America, but also Stop the Steal. And then you notice when you go to these rallies, it's not just one group. There are so many little subgroups like nested under this one thing. And the more you go to and the more people you talk to, you're like, oh, okay. Certain people, maybe they are here to make money or fundraise or get attention or be like a political personality. And then you're like, well, some people are genuinely like their heart's in the right place. And I would say the overwhelming majority are like good-hearted patriots, people who really just care about and love this country and don't want to lose freedoms and want to demonstrate their First Amendment. So I figured, okay, this will, the, the this will be like the other marches. The media is going to undercut it, undercover it, you know, do the flyover real early in the morning to show that there's nobody there. And it wasn't until the drama went down at the Capitol that I was like, oh yeah, of course I see what they're doing. They're going to just obsess about this. And the mainstream media is going to, I mean, I don't know if they realize that they're coming off as hypocritical as they are, because it's a drop in the bucket compared to the devastation and the destruction that happened over the summer with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And it's enough to like make you feel crazy. And I think that's what the mainstream media wants to do, is they want to make 75 to 80 million people in this country feel crazy. Like what they're seeing and hearing isn't real. That, you know, it couldn't be that we are supporting a man who wants the best for us in this country. Like, he's not perfect, but like, he's anti-establishment. And no, it couldn't be that. It's that we're all in a cult and we all need to be, you know, kicked out of our families and divorced and dumped. And I just think that people, Trump, and it's so funny, I don't even want to say the right, because plenty of moderates voted for Trump, plenty of leftists voted for Trump. And even people that voted for Trump aren't even necessarily like MAGA or, you know, huge Trump supporters. Like, you have so many. So to keep, so the media like keeps just broad stroking anybody who voted for Trump as some kind of psychopath. That's a horrible recipe. It's just, it's enough to make you feel like really crazy, unheard, that nobody cares about you. And it is enough to radicalize people. Nobody wants that. And nobody, of course, nobody wants violence. Like, that's obvious. I mean, like, the left wants violence when it suits their motives, but they're their own special case, I guess. Yeah.
It's frustrating when you see the, like you mentioned, the hypocrisy. It's staggering. It's this is a most, I saw, and I know a lot of people did too, a guy, I don't know, during the summer, some reporter, some local reporter, I don't even know if it was a national one, but some guy is standing there. He's got his, you know, he's a, he's got the tripod, the camera, the, you know, the cameraman. He's standing with his microphone. And he is telling the camera that it is a mostly peaceful protest. And over his shoulder, there is literally a building that is burning. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that with a straight face. And I'm watching this and I'm going, my enemy number one is the mainstream media. I cannot stand them. They're so disingenuous. They're such pathological liars. But even by my crazy criteria that I hold the mainstream media to, I was watching this and I was like, this is a joke, right? This can't possibly be a real thing. This has to be put out there to psychologically break people, you know, to get people to just throw their hands up and go, I'm done. I give up.
Right.
I can't take, you can't in a real world stand in front of a burning building. It's cartoonish and say everything is fine.
You know? It's like Michael Malice always says, it's like these people want you dead, but they'll settle for your submission. So now we have two groups of people, one group of people who feel totally just and right and want to lead the charge, like literally happy to help you set up camps to put us in. Right. And then you have the other side that we, you know, at worst, you know, at the absolute worst, they become radicalized and then you really will see violence. Like that wasn't shit at the Capitol. And these are people that are 2A people, and they're coming off of 4 years of being antagonized. Like, you have the recipe for something really horrible to go down. And I thought the Trump supporters or whoever was at the rally showed like really immense restraint, considering like the damage that could have been done if they were going by Black Lives Matter standards. And then you have, so it's basically like you have the left that's like, yeah, fuck them. They belong in camps. Let's kill everybody. It used to, that sort of passion was just reserved for Trump. And now it's trickled down. Now that Trump is going to be gone, it's going to be trickled down to anybody who voted for him or looks like they could have voted for him.
Yeah.
And it's just really awful. And then you have, then you have the other side, the people who did vote for him going, like at worst they're radicalized, but at best they're throwing their hands up and saying, I give up. That's what they wanted. Cause they're like, it's, you can't fight this anymore. Like I just saw this clip of Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo.
Oh God.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe my eyes or ears at what they were saying. And Don Lemon was like, you know, you think you're off the hook just cause you were there, just cause you were in the group, just cause you weren't necessarily like storming the Capitol. It's like, but you were there with white nationalists and Nazis, and they support someone who's a white nationalist and a Nazi, and like all the buzzwords, right? And I was like, oh my God, this is not even news anymore. This is Broadway. This is theater. It sounds like two grown men reading a dramatic monologue, like they're auditioning for something. Because I'm like, this is news is not news anymore. It's a performance. And I'm like, who is this performance for? Like, whose asses are they trying to kiss? And then there's also like the obvious huge brainwashing element, but I don't think they care about the people who they're affecting. I don't care. I don't think they care about families or the person that just for some reason doesn't have anybody in their life that's telling them to look a different way. Like you do have, there is a percentage of the people out there that are still glued to the MSM and they don't know any different. And like these reporters don't care about the chaos and the panic that they throw people into. They just at us.
Yeah. Well, Don Lemon has some problems with his personal life. You know, he was sued for sexually assaulting a young gentleman in the Hamptons. I mean, maybe we should discuss his personal life on television, since he's so quick to paint everyone on the right as being Nazis and white supremacists. You know, I'm as white as they come. I mean, if I were any whiter, I'd be clear. And I don't know any white supremacists and I don't know any Nazis. I just don't. So to like imply that you know, 75 million people or so that voted for Trump are all white supremacists, what it does is it diminishes the value of that word. Diminishes the value. If everybody's a Nazi, how bad can a Nazi be? You know, so they've overused this word, and now the problem is you have a bunch of brain dead people, mostly on the left, that just go around repeating that. You're a Nazi. You got all the Antifa guys are like, you guys are all a bunch of Nazis over there. It's like, do you know what? So you guys are all socialists, right? Like, yeah, fuck you. You guys on the right, we're socialists and fuck you. It's like, do you understand that Nazi is an acronym for National Socialist? Do you understand that? Do you understand that you are calling us Nazis? And I'm not even on the right. I'm just sort of somewhere in the middle, you know. But you're calling these people Nazis, not even understanding the origin of the term and it not even being accurate either. I mean, it's like, you know, so, and they pretend as if the KKK planned this rally in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's embarrassing, but that's CNN. You know, the only people that are tuning into CNN voluntarily are 80-year-olds or people that are stuck at the airport that are forced to watch it on the big screens there, which CNN pays the airports to be there, in case people were wondering. So this is not news. It's like you said, it's theater. It's this and look, to their credit, it's been a hell of a 4-year performance. You know, they've had all kinds of, you know, act one, we're going to destroy everything that Donald Trump stands for, ending with act three, which is everybody that has ever worn a red hat is a white supremacist. You know, I mean, it's so preposterous, and you would be forgiven for walking out of this movie a year early, you know, for it being so unbelievable, except that This is where we have a cartoon president, you know, in Donald Trump, who was a former, you know, game show, you know, host, so to speak. And we have Joe Biden, who spent 47 years in office talking about his hairy legs and corn pop and sniffing kids' hair. And he couldn't get 12 people at his rally, but he got 80 million votes. I'm sorry. I mean, I just...
It doesn't add up. And that's... And that's why they blew up the Capitol storming so much, because we know how the mainstream media works. They don't, it's just like, and it trickles down to the people too. What's easier to do, discredit the source or refute the claim? It's much easier to discredit the source. Yeah. So, and like when and then you go up to news. So like, what's easier to do? Refute a claim, refute a story, or create more news, bigger news, splashier news on top of that. And that's what they did with the Capitol event. It's like, we're not talking about that we're certifying a false election with rife with fraud. You know, we're not going to talk about that, because that is what they were talking about. And then they cut away to like, oh, there's people coming in. And to what degree it was premeditated, or who knows if there were insiders helping out, you know, white hats, black hats, you know, someone secretly sent in to steal Pelosi's laptop. It's like, there's a lot of, for me, I have to work out a lot of those details like on my own through just reading more and trying to take in as many sources as I can. But we know that's what the mainstream media does. They create another story to bury one they don't like.
But when I saw that guy with the Viking helmet and the face paint and everything, I said, oh, this is a made for TV show. Mm-hmm. This is a new reality show. And we've got all of, actually, you know who you reminded me of when I saw him doing the thing and the still photography and the and the hanging from the thing? It reminded me of Carlos Arredondo, the guy from the Boston Marathon. The guy with the cowboy hat and the American flag. It had a lot of him to me in that. And I thought, well, this is a nice little staged opportunity. Let's dig into the past of these guys. And then sure enough, you start to find that they have acting backgrounds, or they're you know, and it's like, are they useful idiots? Are they being allowed in there? I mean, you know, for storming the Capitol, they sure did walk through those perfectly, you know, those poles with the ropes and everything.
Very orderly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very orderly. I feel like half of them went to the gift shop on the way out and got themselves something nice for their mother. Listen, that's not a revolution. That's a LARP. That's play acting. This is like LARPing. You know, if you want to see actual destruction, a real revolt, keep doing the things that you're doing. You'll see one soon enough. I mean, keep treating the people like we're like we don't matter. Keep doing things like like saying we're going to lock you all in your houses and you're never going to get out, and then get caught going to a hair salon or having dinner at a $600 a plate place, or going to Cancun and getting busted there or wherever. You know, all the things that the public officials have done, the hypocrisy. You keep doing that. You think that was a revolution at the Capitol? That was nothing. That was a bunch of people playing their role in some elaborate play. But when it really goes, you know, when you really push America to its boiling point, just remember, we're armed. This country is fully armed, and you push people to their breaking point, you waive all of your rights to act surprised when things go awry, because things will go awry and people are going to feel desperate. And maybe they want that. Maybe at their core, they want that, because the government knows how to deal with in the world of violence. And if you bring violence to them, they know how to play that game. If you bring peace to them, they don't know how to play it. If you bring logic, that confuses them too. So we're going to have to find a different way. But I wouldn't be surprised if that segment of the population that voted for Trump, that feels in their heart that the election was stolen from him, that things don't add up, that they feel that the establishment was presented this information and went, you know, not interested, that will fester. And I think maybe the real question is, you know, how will that manifest over the years? Will it actually come to be a riot, a civil war, an actual civil war, not a you know, fake made for TV one, but will these people stand up, and will they bring out the nooses and, you know, and the gallows and the guillotines and all these symbolic things that you see at some of these protests? Will they actually say, no, you know what, I'm going to subscribe to the George Carlin philosophy on this, which is nothing's going to change until we start hanging some of these fucking bankers, which is what Carlin said. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going, you know, our government works best when the people that are running the government are a little bit fearful of the people. And that's been missing for a long time. I'm not saying that we should hold guns to their heads. I'm just saying that they should have in the back of their mind, if we do this, what will the people do to us?
Yeah, it's like a good relationship. It's like when you're with a guy or a girl and like someone shows you disrespect, like, and you have to stand up for yourself. Cause if you don't, it's like you're communicating that you can be walked all over right. And that person is fully in charge of you. You know, you're not. And that's the thing. It's like a healthy fear because it's fear with respect, not like fear. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. We're on to you. We're watching you. Like, you're accountable to us. You work for us instead of like, oh, we're just going to put our heads in TikTok and just don't hurt us. Don't like,
yeah,
don't take away our movies, you know?
Yeah. We're in an abusive relationship with our government. We are in a toxic relationship. It's like, he hits me because he loves me sort of thing, yes. You know?
And he just hit me a little less this year as things are getting better.
Right. And then, yeah. And your friends are going, why are you with this creep? You know, all you do is complain about him. All he does is treat you like shit, you know? And you're like, yes, but at least I know what I have with this relationship.
That's how I feel about still living in New York State. Like, I'm always like, fuck Cuomo. And then like, why don't you move? And I'm like, oh, because my work is here.
I know.
And my boyfriend and my boyfriend's son is here. And it's like, yes. You know, people have family ties.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And that factors into how we rationalize this. And we all do that. Not all of us live in New York, but we're all playing that game of rationalizing this insanity in our head. And we're going, well, it's not too bad. And it's like, well, you know, I was talking to my mom about this. And my mom is 80 years old. And she goes, you know what I feel like these days in the country? She says, I feel like it's like 1932 in Europe. And there's a lot of people that are starting to get the feeling that maybe we should get out of here while we can. And then there's another group of people that are thinking, no, it's not that bad. And it won't, you know, and if it gets bad, it'll just get a little bit worse. And I'm like, God, you know what? My mom is, you know, she didn't live through World War II, but I mean, she's seen some things, and maybe she's right about that. You know, there is this normalcy bias where we go, well, today was relative, you know, the dollar still worked and my electricity was still on yesterday and today. And so I think it'll be all on tomorrow, and it probably will be, but at the rate we're going, like, we can't really just assume anything is going to be normal tomorrow, next week, next month. And so we have become this kind of frogs in the pot, getting the heat turned up a little bit more. And you can justify staying in New York because of those reasons, and those are all valid reasons. I can justify staying in Denver for similar reasons. My family's here, my daughter's in school and everything, but I'm not pretending that I don't see what's happening. I see it, and I'm looking for, you know, when you're in a club and you feel like there's some tension and you feel like there's a fight about to break out, and you kind of start going, all right, if this fight breaks out, where am I going? Where's the doors? Okay. Bouncers are there. The exit's there.
Preparing.
Mm-hmm. I got to get my credit card from the bar before this break. You know what I mean? And you're like,
I got to get my drunk whore friend.
I got to get this bitch out of the before we make a run for it. Let's figure these things out. And so I feel like a lot of us in this country are making internal checklists and thinking about where we're going if things continue this way. Because we had a pretty good run after 9/11 of, yes, the Patriot Act was enacted, and yes, things got a little weird. We had to take our shoes off and all that stuff. But there was at least a 15-year period where there wasn't a ton of change. But we got all
other than the surveillance state.
The surveillance state being built up around us. Yeah. But even that was sort of gradual.
We didn't really feel it.
We didn't really feel it. Like 2020 was like dumping a bucket of cold water on you. You were just like awake to all of the fuckery all at once. And you were like, holy moly. And it's, you know, it's psychologically damaging for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are on edge. And then you throw in masks into that. You throw in the possibility that somebody's job might go away, or that their whole industry. And my wife works in corporate travel, big planning, big corporate events and things like that. that stuff's gone. It's all virtual now. So it's created this chaos as a nation, but also like individually, we're all like kind of working through our own shit these days.
And I think if individuals can realize, because right, everything, this is all recipe. It's like hopelessness, fear. You're like going broke or afraid of going broke. It's yeah. like, it's really, it's coming at you from all sides. You can't see your family. You can't work. People think they can't go outside without a mask. People think they can't go for a run outside. People think they can't even be in their own cars by themselves without a mask. So it's like, this is a spiritual attack from all angles. And I think if individuals can realize they do have more control than they realize, there is more in your power. Don't give away more of your power than you, I guess, have to, you know, like yeah. you really don't have to wear a mask everywhere. Like for me, it's finding out what those places are for me. It's like, I know I can go into Dunkin' Donuts now and they won't say shit. And maybe that's right. because I'm just a really good customer. I was there every day.
This one up, guys, we got to keep her in.
I was there every day from like, yeah, March through now. And it's like, that's my jam. That's my spot. Yeah. I used to be all about Starbucks. I would, you know, cause I was like in the city, like basically every day. And I just was like, well, this is part of being in the city. I have to spend $6 on coffee. Like I'm right. a mover. I'm a shaker. I'm getting flavor shots, whatever. And then
we're really doing it, Harry.
I'm really doing it. But now my people are the Dunkin' Donuts people. Like I'm really, yeah. Those are my people and those are better people. You don't want to be with Starbucks. People, if you're friends with Starbucks people, like take another look at your life, because those people will leave you if things get rough.
They will. They'll
Dunkin' Donuts people, they'll be like, no, let's join a militia. Let's go. who has
they
what?
Will stab a police officer mm-hmm. with a spork for sure.
Because guess what? Who's got buckets of like freeze dried food? Dunkin' Donuts people. Starbucks people don't. They don't. No. They're not prepared for shit. They're not thinking ahead.
We'll
they're
eat
just
them first.
Instagramming. Yeah. 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 So yeah. anyway, that was a big realizing that I'm a Dunkin' Donuts person. And but they don't fuck with me on the mask. Same thing with like there's a Tim Hortons that I go get coffee at. Same thing. It's like my default now is to just go in without one, see how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
I don't wear one on trains. And I mean, we'll see. Like I'm doing some flights to do some gigs in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and then maybe Florida in the spring. So we'll see how that goes. Oh,
Florida's wide open. You can just you can just get out there and do
Florida's like nothing is different at all.
No. I mean, but that's Florida. One of my favorite one of my favorite places, you know, Gators.
It's great. People. It's great. My dad lives down there and I was there for Thanksgiving and I was like, oh my God.
I was there for Thanksgiving as well.
I was shopping. I was going into stores without a mask and they weren't saying shit. And I was like, oh my God, this is so great. I'm like, trying on bras and stuff. And they're like, you have to go into the trying room for that. And I was like, okay, fine.
Oh yeah, fine, whatever.
Taking too many liberties.
Here in the aisle. Yeah, this has become a litmus test as well to see how stupid people are. Because I posted something I think it was yesterday, that was like LA Times, I believe. But it was a story, and it was a serious story. I mean, I had to read the whole thing to see if it was parody, because it was saying, talking about how, you know, you really should in theory be wearing two masks.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, okay, why not wear five? You know, where does this end? So
yeah, why not tie a pillowcase over your head?
Right, exactly. That's what we need to do. So on the one hand, I reserve the bulk of my frustration and anger for the media, the CDC, the Fauci crew, Gates, all those guys. I reserve the vast majority of my frustration towards them. But I'll tell
you
what,
they were all buddies. They were all like roommates in Cornell.
Of course. But I save a certain percentage of that anger for the people too, because we have a responsibility in this. Like, you have a responsibility to not be stupid. To not just do everything that your television tells you to do. When you're presented with information that contradicts your logic and the information that you have come up with, you have to question it. You can't just, you don't. I am convinced, and this is going to sound like a shitty joke, but think about it like in a serious sense. If Tony Fauci came out and gave a press conference today, and Anderson Cooper reported on it tonight about this press conference. And during the press conference, Tony Fauci said that based on their evidence, they found that due to the weight of the virus and the way that it hovers in air, it is best for people to drop down below about 4 feet, which means from now on, everybody's going to need to, besides wearing their mask, crawl into the stores on their hands.
Just get around on a skateboard.
Or get on a skateboard or something to get under. Tomorrow at Walmart, there would be a line of people on their hands and knees crawling in. So I have a frustration, obviously, with the insane directives that are coming from Washington, D.C. And government. But man, the people need to do a better job of waking up to this, you know, like slap, like you need, like, you know, like the on airplane where like, get a hold of yourself, like slapping that lady. We need that, like, collectively for the country. Like, everyone needs, like, the guy with the pipe and the guy with the gun, you know, and everybody just slapping the shit out of America, figuratively, maybe even literally, and just being, get a hold of yourself. Like, stop this. You're bad at math. This is a 99.74% survival rate for the most susceptible of our society, yeah. And like 99.97% survival rate for everyone else. What are we doing? What are we? Are we just that bad at math? I understand Common Core. I've written books about that shit, but are we? I mean, you know, so yes, Fauci's a piece of shit. Yes, Bill Gates is a monster. All these things, but it's like your neighbor who is perpetuating this stuff and who's putting and doing all this stuff. They play a role in this too. They need a foot put up their ass because they need to wake up and be like, stop giving into the fear. And when you do that, when you stop giving into that fear and you stop listening to your television set, it's so powerful. You feel like you feel like, oh, I'm free from this stuff.
Yeah. I remember at the very beginning in March, like, so my boyfriend's mom, she, you know, I think she had a couple, I mean, she's not like a big fat mess, like a lot of these people that have like, oh, I have comorbidities. And it's like, no, you just have never taken care of yourself your whole right. life, you know, and you probably will get it. Cause you're getting a slew of other things, but like, I forget what she had. Something where at the very beginning, she was very careful and we were very careful around her. Like, we weren't even going into the house at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. But it was like around April or May where like she kind of woke up, and she's somebody who I would understand being paranoid, forcing yeah. us to not come near her. But at some point she woke up, and then now it's like everybody in our family, like we talk about it openly. Well, his family, my family, like, I think I'm pretty sure my dad voted for Biden to impress his new girlfriend. But like in my boyfriend's Sweet. Family, we all talk about it. We're all awake. And she kind of came too. And now we kind of like shake our heads at the people who are just wearing masks all the time. And she was somebody who had like a little bit of a health issue or whatever it was, yeah. pacemaker, something. It was like something that gave her pause in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that there's still so many people that are not using their own common sense because they have an old parent, because they, you know, they're taking care of somebody else. So it's
better
like
they, safe than sorry. Yeah. I get that. I mean, I understand. Yeah. You're like, well, my 85-year-old father is sick. And okay. Well, don't go by him. That I understand. I'm not saying be like a dick or anything, but what I am saying is that I'm not interested in being lectured by the person that's 100 pounds overweight. That's going to tell mm-hmm. me about that now magically is concerned about their health. All of a sudden those people can fuck right off, because I'm not interested in having a conversation with them or participating in this sort of collective delusion. Just because the box told them to go be fearful of this. It's so
that it,
mm-hmm. it's, if we turn the TV off, half our problems better. Would go away.
But people feel obsessed, like they can't, like they have to keep going in and getting hit, you know. And just like how you feel about those folks, I have a particular anger towards the trust the science people. Like these are the same people that are like, you gotta go get a jab. You have to, the science, the studies, this one thing I read. And it's like, if these are the same people that you can't have a conversation about supplements, herbs, vitamin D, vitamin C, like if they're not about that, then these are not people that are about
right.
science. Cause you need to know about like how your actual body was made to work. Your body is made to heal itself with everything around us. Like there's something like really insanely special about Earth and all of us that are here. And part of that is we can heal ourselves with what's around us. And you have to look past, like, you got to get over the trust the science thing, because that's just another I'm sorry, it's just like another like catchphrase to get people to obey. Because, oh, you got to trust science. You can't trust religion, so you got to trust science. And it's like, be wary if you're really loyal to one, you know, category. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, if the media had come out early on, let's say March, April of 2020, and said, we've got this massive coronavirus situation, we're working on it, the top minds in the world are working on a vaccine and everything. There's huge problems with that. But let's just say that that's what they said. But then they followed it up by saying, in the absence of that, or in the meantime, what you can do to give yourself the best chance is eat healthy, take supplements, take vitamin C, take vitamin D, take zinc, get outside, get some sunlight, exercise, get rid of all, stop going to McDonald's. If they had said those
stop eating sugar, drinking kills your immune system, but that's like the fucking liquor stores have been thriving during all this. We joke that that's like an essential business, and some days it is, overall, if your immunity is down, you got to kick the sugar and you got to kick the alcohol. None of this.
So they don't suggest any of that. The only thing we ever heard was once the vaccine comes, then everything will go back to normal, which of course isn't true. And then they said, trust the science, like you said. Well, if you don't understand that science can be compromised by money, then you don't understand science. And so and you're in no position to say, trust the science. Trust some science, but it doesn't mean trust all science, because the vaccine science is not real science. They have been sued. I put this in perspective for some people. The vaccine industry has paid out through the rigged VAERS court, which is the vaccine adverse effect reaction court. It's a kangaroo court that if you mention that your kid has autism, you're automatically not allowed to go through it. So even through this rigged court that doesn't make any sense and pays out a fraction of what it should pay, it has still paid out more money to settle damage claims caused from vaccines than the Catholic Church has paid to settle rape claims worldwide for all of their stuff. And we know what a problem that is. So it's like, the people that are saying trust the science don't even understand that the vaccine industry are all convicted felons. Every single major big pharma corporation have been convicted in court of felonies, including price fixing, rigging their tests, all sorts of unscrupulous things. They've paid out collectively over $100 billion in fines, but I'm supposed to trust the science? Do you know what the science is? You know? So it's like, I'm not saying put it in God's hands and hope for the best. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have to actually dig into the science behind vaccines before you just blindly go trusting it, because you can't do that. There is a wake of destruction, and those are for vaccines that have been tested and run through clinical trials, shitty ones, but still trials nonetheless. For years and years and years. We're not even talking about this rush to market vaccine, experimental vaccine that does God knows what. Oh yeah, take it. Trust the science. Fuck that. That's what you say to people when they shouldn't trust the science, you know? So it's a very devious strategy that they have for us.
People are looking to science to be like their new daddy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, listen, trust the science is because I said so for...
That's exactly what it is.
Don't ask questions because I said so, because I'm your father. And but wait, could I be sterilized? Trust the science, you know?
Yeah, you can be sterilized. Actually, you can be sterilized from the regular vaccines. It says that in the side effects that people read, and they go, okay, fine, I won't trust the science necessarily, but I'll trust the CDC, who's talking about the science. It's like, okay, well, are you going to trust the World Health Organization too? Yeah, I'll trust them. They're a world organization that focuses on health. Of course, I'll trust them.
Look at their logo; it's so official looking.
it looks great, and it's tied to the UN. What could possibly go wrong? Except that they were busted putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccines that they gave in Kenya to all of the women there. Now, they denied it at first, but then they were found guilty in court, and then they later admitted, yes, they'd been doing it. And not only had the World Health Organization, did they admit that they'd been doing it, but they admitted they'd been doing it for a decade.
And these were these the Gates vaccination, the Gates vaccine?
No, this was, well, Gates was doing that in India.
India.
Okay. And he was involved. Well, he was involved in the Kenya thing too, but they don't, they were doing this on their own, and it wasn't limited to Kenya. It happened in multiple countries, but that was the best known one. That was the one that went through the court system and they were found guilty of it. So this is, you know, it's like these catchphrases, like you said, trust the science. That is so that you don't, that is so that you get a little phrase in your head that tells you what to do so that you don't actually look into it. Because if you actually looked into it, you would find within 15 minutes on a search in your computer, you would find some real questionable things. And so they have to get you to trust the science. You know who else said the science is settled on vaccines? Trust the science? Hillary Clinton. So you can put yourself in that category, and you can just know that you're taking advice given to you by Hillary Clinton too. So,
and I think that's probably one of the more important, I guess, goals for folks like us to messages for us to get out, because this trust the science has been tattooed into the mainstream media and into all of our brains, right? So it's like getting out to people that how science can be compromised. So it's basically science, like if they're looking for proof of something and they're being sponsored by whatever it is, like Johnson & Johnson or really whoever. I don't have a good example for this, but like the tests follow and the results, they keep the results that support what the outcome that they want to have happen.
Yeah, and when it comes to vaccines, they don't even do the simplest of tests, the double-blind placebo study, where you take half of the people and give them the vaccine, half the people and give them the placebo and see what happens. They won't do those. They won't because they know what that'll show. So it's like there's fraud baked into this. And let's face it, it's $100 billion a year industry, the vaccine industry. And with this new coronavirus, that it probably doubles that. You know, so there's a lot of money at stake. I think that people that are casual observers of the news, or you know, just like somebody that's not really necessarily into this sort of stuff, they watch the nightly news and they make this, they have this expectation or this assumption that if there was a negative side to the vaccine debate, I would have heard about it on my nightly news. I certainly hear about the positives of vaccines, and if there was a negative side, my news would bring in somebody to give me the negative side. And that's not the case. That isn't going to happen, because Big Pharma gets so much of their ad revenue, the nightly news gets so much of their ad revenue from Big Pharma that they can't run stories that are critical of them, because they'll get their advertising pulled. You know, the president of Pfizer will just say, Anderson Cooper went off the rails tonight. You know, he'd be in Jeff Zucker's office the next morning threatening to pull $1 billion worth of advertising if he doesn't get his guy on board and shut that guy up. So, you can't get an honest conversation about the vaccine situation on your nightly news. And so there's a lot of people that just assume that there is only one side to that conversation. And so then that's why they go, just get your vaccine, dummy. You know, go get it. Don't be stupid. What do you want to kill, grandma? It's like, dude, I don't have a half an hour to unpack this conversation, but what you're saying to me is idiotic and insane, and I'm not participating in this. But like, there's a lot of those people out there. There's a lot of those people that are just going to tell you that they know what's going on with vaccines because they watched CNN last night. And it's like, you don't know. There's a lot to this. It's a serious conversation. And it would be fine if it was just, you know, you vaccinate your kids, I don't want to vaccinate mine, and we'll just, you know, agree to disagree on this. But it's like, those people are saying, if you don't do what I want you to do with your body, I'm not going to let you get on an airplane. I'm not going to let your kids go to school. I'm not going to let you get a, you know, get a driver's license.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's crazy. That is where we're headed. And so it's reasonable for us to stand up and get mad about this. It's actually unreasonable for us to just take it in the ass. You know, it's more reasonable for us to stand up and go, I'm not doing this. No way, man. Because if we don't, they'll steamroll us, you know?
You know what it is? You know what it is, Charlie? Like, CNN is like the Ghislaine Maxwell of the mainstream media, because hear me out. She, Ghislaine Maxwell, looked very chic. Yep. British accent, the whole package. You're like, yes, I want it. She's a motherly figure, I guess, you know, sort of like a sweet talker. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I trust this woman. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Worldly. Sure. I can, she's worldly. Yeah. Oh yeah. She's well-traveled, yes. Pilot license, submarine license. It's like, she's just been in, you know, expensive wine, the whole thing, wine and dine you. Sure. I'll earn $200 to get a massage. And then you're like, oh, because she's so sweet and I trust her and I believe her. The same thing with CNN. You're like, well, they're in suits. They're chic looking. They appear to be well-spoken. You know, it's like, it's this trusting looking source. And it's also like with authority. And it's like you on both ways, you're like kind of seduced in and sort of bullied in by what looks like a respectable source. Cause you're like, well, look at them. I remember in college, I'd watch CNN and be like, well, that's real news. That's newsy news. That's like, yeah, I had that too. Up there with the New York Times. Well, smart people watch CNN. Well, smart people read the New York Times. And I think that's how they trick you. They make it seem like they're smarter than you. So you have to consume what they put out. Cause so you can be smarter than everybody too. Like, yeah, join our club, join our Smarty Pants club, which comes back to my fucking Dunkin' Donuts Starbucks debate. That's kind of what Starbucks does. Like, you can pay $6 for coffee, right? Because you're better than everybody.
You're great.
Like, no, man, you got to get back to Dunkin' Donuts level. You got to get back to regular coffee and cream, and you got to get back to like fucking real people reporting the real news.
Well, I put a quote in my first book about Wolf Blitzer, speaking of CNN anchors and smart guys. And he said, when I was coming out of college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I realized I was unqualified for nothing. I decided to apply for a job at CNN. And to my surprise, I got the job. That's what Wolf Blitzer said. So they're not any smarter than the rest of us. They just look that way because they're important. You know, it's like Tom Segura says, he's in special because he has a business card that says DR period on it, you know? And that's what we've got. We're like, oh, well, this guy, Wolf Anderson Cooper knows what he's talking about because he's on the nightly news. And I recognize mm-hmm. him. It's like, Anderson Cooper is a Vanderbilt who interned at the CIA and does not give a flying fuck about your best interest. He will lie straight to your face for $9 million a year. He's been doing it for a decade. There's no problems here. So but there's so many people in this country that turn on the nightly news and think of it as a source of actual information, and they don't realize about the history of it. They don't realize about the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, which legalized propaganda inside the United States to be on Americans. Yeah, Obama passed that.
I didn't hear this. Oh, thanks, yeah. Obama.
Yeah, Obama put this in the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act and crammed it through with all that other bullshit that they passed. And it legalized propaganda inside the United States. And then after that happened, guess what? We had a bunch of school shootings and a bunch of questionable things happen. And so they made it legal to lie to you. They went through the extraordinary step of changing the original Smith-Mundt Act, which came out in 1948 after World War II, that said, you know, propaganda is really dangerous. So we should make a law that you can't use it in America against Americans. Yeah, we'll still use it on everyone else, but we should make a law you can't use it here. And so they signed it, and it stayed intact until 2012. It wasn't expiring. It was minding its own business, being a law.
And it's called Smith-Mundt?
Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, Modernization Act of 2012. And so the modernization of it was that they changed it from banning propaganda to legalizing it. That's the modernization. And I would suggest...
So modern.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, you know, Obama was very, he was very modern.
And he was the CNN of presidents.
He was the CNN
of presidents. Well-spoken, chic, in a suit. It's like, this is the trend here. It's like the culmination, like Obama, CNN, it's the full manifestation of fake it till you make it.
For sure. 100%. Just like Obama, his only bad day in office was one day he wore a tan suit to a press conference.
People joke, oh, he was so controversial. He's so boring. It's like, no. He's a snake.
He was a snake. But that's what we're going back to now. That's what a huge segment of the population is like. Now we're going back to Biden. Now we're going back to civility in the White House. The same administration, you mean, like the Obama-Biden administration is so civil that they dropped so many bombs on the Middle East that they literally ran out, which sounds like a fake story when you say it like that. It sounds like a punchline to a joke until you research it and realize, oh, they actually did literally run out of bombs. They had to go make more. So what would you rather have? I mean, look, I'm no Trump fan. I think he's a weirdo, you know, but he represented a threat to that establishment. And I like that. Anybody
that's he was Dunkin' Donuts.
He's the Dunkin' Donuts of Washington D.C. Of presidents, yes. To Obama's CNN. And, you know, I mean, so we've got a lot of people that are all, you know, we've got half the population that's pissed off because they feel like the election was stolen from them. And I'm in agreement with them. You've got the other half that says, I don't even care if the election was stolen. I just want that asshole out of office. And so that's not a good way to start things off either. It's like, I don't care that you cheated on me. You're hot. I want you. You know what I mean?
That is so what it is. I want to go to movies again. Like, I've been sold this lie that everything will return to normal. It's like, no, you were sold the lie everything would return to normal after the election. Did it? No. Like, we're in January now, and it's like, it's just not going to work out the way people feel. Oh, but the vaccine. Oh, but you have to get the vaccine every year. Well, that's not a vaccine then. You still have to wear the mask every year.
Yeah. You still have to social distance. You still have to do all those things. But it's back to normal because you're getting injected with things that you don't know what they are. Part of me, and it's a small part, but part of me is like, then go get the vaccine, dummy. Go. Be the first.
See what happens. See if your grandkids can't have kids, and then you'll be like, "What happened?"
But then I kind of get off of that because I'm like, they don't even know what they're walking into. But this weaponization of the Karens of the world has been disgusting over 2020, where, you know, I think a lot of people, we kind of joked about like World War II, and people were like, oh, you know, some people got the feeling that bad things were coming, and other people were like oblivious to it. But all of us look back on World War II and go, how did that even happen? Like, how do you get all these people to like become willfully blind to what's happening around them?
They must have trusted the science, I think.
Yeah, they must have trusted the science. And then we see what happened in 2020. People ratting out their neighbors for there's too many cars in their driveway at Thanksgiving. God. And you're like, oh, now I understand how this happened in Nazi Germany. It makes perfect sense.
Because it gives them power. Exactly. They feel so good. It's like, if you look at the past year, who were the people that were the most rude to you about masks or distancing or whatever? It's like these lower level people that like, they don't have a lot of power in their jobs and perhaps not a lot of power in their own lives, they are the most vocal about shutting down someone else and just for a moment feeling better than you.
Yeah, it gives them purpose and meaning, and they feel like they internalize that as being they're part of the solution. They've got a purpose. They've got a special purpose, like Naven Johnson from The Jerk. You know, they've got a special purpose. They can go out there and they're going to save the world, and they're going to start by lecturing you about it in the produce aisle, you know, and telling you about wearing masks and things like that. And it's like, man, I don't have the time or effort to get in to unpack this whole conversation, which has to happen, you know, if you're going to try and get into a disagreement with someone like that. And I found that I just don't have the energy for it. So
it's so hard, because I don't want to not talk to people. I don't want to not respond to comments I see, you know, because it's such a big conversation. It's not just like, let me catch you up with a paragraph. It's like, I'd have to sit you down for a couple days and be like, why is this happening? And pull back. And then you got to look at, you got to follow the money. You got to look at like corporations. You got to look at like, what is the truth about our health system? You got to look at what is the truth about our financial system? What's the truth about the UN? And like, what's the truth about the people that are in charge that are calling all the shots right now? It's such a big conversation, and it's hard to have, it's hard to just throw that out in a response on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's like, to somebody who truly probably doesn't even want to listen, they're just there to tell you that they're right and you need to put on a mask. and they're there to tell you that you're an asshole. And you're like, oh my God, look at the boxes. The boxes even say these don't prevent shit. They're sprayed with asbestos. Like the other night we were in the Union of the Unwanted, which I recommend to anybody. Yay. It's a really great show.
We have a good
and
time.
We were there with Judy Mikovits, Dr. Judy Mikovits. I just ordered her book, by the way. I think it just arrived. I literally have, like, from this year, a stack of books this big that I, like, can't wait to read. It's like, I've given myself more homework in the last year than, like,
I know.
In the last 10. And she was talking about how these masks, like the typical blue and white ones, they're sprayed with asbestos, and how just the wearing of them over time, it's like a bacteria sponge. It's an immune kind of, God, I had a whole sheet of notes. It's like they're basically made, the masks are immune compromisers, and these vaccines are like disease engines. And the way she explains it, I mean, she's obviously so smart. And I was like putting it in this, you know, we have like a secret group chat as this is all going on. And I'm like, man, the longer Judy talks, the dumber I feel. Like, why am I even here? She's just taken away. That woman can talk. She talked for almost 3 hours without so much as a sip of water or a lozenge or anything. I'm like, she's a machine.
Yeah.
She is like the awake energizer bunny.
Yep.
But if you're like curious at all about vaccine stuff, go back and listen to that episode, because she is a person who could go and say trust the science. She actually, you know, was in that industry and knows the truth. And people like her who speak out are silenced, they're discredited, shamed, they're called kooks.
Yeah. And why is that? Why are we in the business of trying to discredit all of these scientists? It's like, what does Dr. Judy have to gain from this? I mean, she talked about that when we were on the show. She was saying that she, you know, Dr. Fauci tried to ruin her career, damn near did. And if it wasn't for these movies, you know, Plandemic and things like that, giving her this platform, you know, they would squish, you know, force her right out. Her voice would never be heard because these guys are in positions of power inside the government. It doesn't make them right. It just makes them connected. So she's coming out. She's talking about logical things. I mean, we've had Del Bigtree on Union of the Unwanted before as well. He's the director of Vaxxed. He's the producer and host of High Wire, and he'll tell you in a very logical, reasonable way. These guys aren't. The thing that's important for people to realize is that these guys aren't anti-science. The people that are talking about having the vaccine debate, they're pro-science. That's the reason why they have problems with the vaccines, is because they're pro-science. These are not the guys that are saying, put it in God's hands. These are the people that are saying, I understand how this all works. I have problems with X, Y, and Z. I've asked Big Pharma to respond to these problems, and their only response is to try to discredit me and try to make me, you know, go away from not asking these questions. It's an illogical response. If Big Pharma is so fine and healthy and these things work so well, why can't they give guys like Del Bigtree or Judy Mikovits straight up answers on this? And the answer is because it's not fine. They've got massive problems there, and people are figuring it out.
They're drug dealers, and you're on their corner, and you need to go get away from their corner, because this is...
You got it.
You know, that's what it is. And when you think about it, like, right, the people like Dr. Judy, they know how the science works. They're also pro human body. People think, oh, why wasn't autism a thing in the 50s? You know, and their thing, they're opening up their coat to sell, you know,
right.
Like, hey, check this out. They are doing everything they can to make money off of people not being healthy. So why would they push natural cures? It's like, if you could make your own t-shirts, like, you know, why use Vistaprint? Like, so they're going to take down like ways to make your own t-shirts. That's a horrible example, but it's like, right. Well, now people can self-publish their own books. Guess who doesn't like that? The big publishers. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is like, what they don't tell you is like, these vaccines have chain event reactions that will ultimately lead to Big Pharma making more money. Of course, they're not going to gloss over that. They're going to focus on the immediate thing, which is, we're solving the thing. We created the symptom. So now we've created the cure. Mm-hmm. And don't look at anything else. Trust the science. Don't look behind that door. Don't see where this voice is coming from.
Right. Yeah. If you, if you really want us to trust the science, open it up. Open. Let's have the discussion. Let's have both sides of this. But you know, the vaccine industry has been real dirty for a long, long time. For those that don't know, in 1986, Congress passed a law and made it so that you cannot sue vaccine manufacturers for product liability. The reason why that law was passed was because Big Pharma was going to Congress saying, "You got to help us. We are getting the shit sued out of us for product liability, and we're going to go out of business unless you tilt the playing field and rig it so that all these people can't sue us anymore." And so they bought themselves some congressmen who changed that in 1986 and made it so that you can't sue them. You can't sue Big Pharma for all of this. It has to go through this rigged Veris court that I talked about. So then after that happened, after they had the protection legally from lawsuits, then the vaccine schedule exploded. That's when it went to multiples of that, you know. So where it used to be a dozen, now it's 76 or whatever shots, and there's 200 sitting on the back burner. And people go, well, the CDC is there to regulate it. They're going to go in and they're going to say, well, these are safe and these are not, and these come on the schedule and these don't, and these we need and these we don't. The CDC owns more than 50 of the patents on the vaccines. The CDC makes $5 billion a year from the vaccines that they put on the schedule because they own the patents. It's a rigged game.
It's like McDonald's talking about which soda is the healthiest for you. Exactly. It's like they own all of the sodas. It's just like...
So we're at this like severe disadvantage, and it doesn't get talked about on the nightly news. So people assume there's not even an issue there. And like we go about our lives and we just, you know, we've got to make assumptions in order to navigate through life. So it's like, it's reasonable for you, if you don't know any better, to assume that the CDC and the FDA and the US government is doing something to make sure that you're not getting poisonous products. But in actuality, they aren't doing something. In fact, they're enabling poisonous products for getting through because they have a vested interest in this, for keeping everybody sick. So it's this really backwards way of thinking about it. And once you understand it, you can't ever see it any other way. And you just go, oh, this is so gross. But then, you know, it just depends on what your relationship is to Big Pharma. You know, if you had a kidney removed, you know, and it saved your life, then your relationship with Big Pharma is that they're great and they saved my life. So you'll never be able to tell that person that there's some serious problems and you know, cause they have a different experience. But like for the rest of us, like we kind of need to wake up and pay attention to what they're doing with the vaccines because you cannot just assume that they're telling you the truth. They have a long history of lying. They have billions of dollars at stake for keeping you in the dark about this, and they make money off of your unhealthiness, you know. So they don't want you healthy, and they don't really want you dead. They kind of want you right in the middle, just sick enough that you're a customer for life. And the sooner they get you sick, the better, which is one of the reasons why the vaccines are targeted at kids.
Wow. Yeah. Just keep you alive so you can work, just working and working, and then paying for your pills until your body gives up.
Yeah. 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 Have a great day, everybody. Yeah. Sleep tight. I mean, this is the insanity of this. And what's weird is that when you calmly, which I rarely am calm, but when you calmly bring this up to someone, they just point at you like you're crazy. And it's like, boy,
yep.
The media does a good job.
They do such a good job of demonizing whoever doesn't support their money-making factory. You know, it's like, then they're so happy to point, oh, look at this one article. Oh, the crazy mom who wouldn't get her kid vaccinated. And then he gave everybody polio or whatever, like the one story. And it's like, who do you think financed that story?
Yeah.
Don't be that mom. And then there's mom pressure, and then there, you know, pressure on other parents. Like, you're putting everybody else at risk. Like,
it's massive. Yeah. The guilt tripping is very effective. You know, you kind of have to know too. You owe it to yourself to learn as much as you can about the vaccine debate too, because if you go into this conversation sort of unarmed or half armed, you know, with your, like, you don't have your information sort of,
you can get pummeled. Yeah.
You can get pummeled for sure, because they're very good at at getting people to be emotional, you know, to get you, to make you look stupid. I mean, you can be, we're not doctors. I'm not a doctor. I'm far from a doctor, but actually I've always felt like that makes it, that's actually a little easier for me to understand it. Cause I'm more objective. I didn't go through 8 years of Rockefeller Foundation funded medical schools and get like programmed with the only cure is a pill, you know?
Right. And that's the thing is like people in the medical industry are also brainwashed, which is like, again, hard to hear from me because I didn't go to med school. I haven't studied viruses. Those are easy ways to discredit me. And I'm just a person who's observing things and talking to a lot of different people. And it's like Judy was saying, like, and I asked her, I was like, I'm seeing a lot of Instagram posts of like doctors and nurses happily getting their jabs. Are they getting different jabs? Are they getting the real thing? And if they, you know, if they did know what's in the real thing, they probably wouldn't get it, which is why we're seeing a lot of people in the medical industry refusing it. And she was like, yeah, they're brainwashed as well. That's like, it's the system of they're coming up in the McDonald's system of food prep. You know, it's like they, all they know is McDonald's. So they're not going to, you know what I mean? Like they're an expert in McDonald's, so they can't speak to natural cures or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in an, you know, as Alex Jones said, we're in an information war, which is funny, that he was so right about that. And who's got the best information, whose information is getting suppressed, who has your best interest at heart. I trust Dr. Judy much more than I trust Dr. Fauci. And I don't see her incentive in this.
Judy's not trying to make money off of us.
No.
She's like, yeah.
She's just telling it like it is and doing all that. And you know, and whether it be vaccine, the conversation of vaccine or conversations about the Capitol riot, you know, we see this control of the information, removal of Parler, removal of Donald Trump from Twitter and Facebook and all of that. It used to be, you would hope it would be about getting as much information out there as possible. Now it's about suppressing as much information as you can because you don't want
to just take out the enemy. Yeah, yeah. Why have a debate when you can just take out the other side and then there's no debate? How much easier is that? You can just listen to us. We're the only source.
Exactly. And if you're getting your information solely from podcasters, first of all, you're in trouble. And second of all, you're probably going to have a much better day than if you get it from the mainstream media. At least we're going to, you know, make light of this situation as we.
But I think it is good because I think you and I, we do raise questions. Like we're kind of down here with the regular people. And I think people listening are going, yeah, I have these same questions too. Like I've had thoughts like this as well. Right. And so it's good to listen to people like us, not that because we're the authority on anything, but because we sound like everybody else sounds. We're not trying to be experts. We're not trying to be shiny and special and untouchable and irrefutable, you know?
No. And I think that we also set people's minds at ease because they realize, okay, I'm not the only person feeling this, you know? Okay. I feel a little bit isolated and a little bit insane because I don't hear anybody saying the things that I'm thinking on the news or in a place where I can see it. But now they hear conversations like this and they go, okay, fine. I'm not alone. I'm not the only person that finds this stuff to be troubling. It rubs me the wrong way. I'm having a hard time with my family and, you know, we're all going through something similar. And I would, you know, and I would say it's frustrated as I get with all this stuff, which is pretty frustrated. We do need to remember that the people that we're interacting with out there in the general public, you know, the people that are freaking out in the grocery stores and things like that, they're all going through their own version of hell. We don't know what's going on with them. They might have lost their job. They might be having problems at home. They might be off their medication. They might be experiencing a psychotic break. I mean, this is having a negative effect on a lot of people. So it's like, I have to check myself from time to time and kind of remind myself that like, okay, don't go overboard on this poor bastard at the grocery store because he's coming off of, you know, he might be trying to figure out if this is the last batch of groceries he's going to be able to buy, you know? So
True. So true. Because I had just gone through, like, in 2018, my mom died of brain cancer. So it's like, for me, it's like I got through that. I felt like I could handle anything because that was like just pummeled with grief and just like feeling all the feelings and not like, oh, there's nobody alive that I care about anymore. It's like, my dad's in Florida. He's fine. He's like a freaking ox. Like, he's just like German and like nothing can stop him. And like, those are always, he's like the guy that like chain smokes and is still alive till he's 100. He doesn't smoke, but it's like,
yeah, it's that guy.
I don't know. And wait, I had a point. I had a point. God damn it.
Yeah.
I can't remember it.
Well, you're talking about having to deal with the
oh, not knowing, right, not knowing what somebody else is going through. Because 2020 might be the hardest year a lot of people have had. And if they haven't, if they're not wise to these subjects and they haven't been intellectually curious about any of this stuff, it's like you said, they're getting dumped on for a year straight. Plus, what do we have that's removed? Our public squares, our gatherings, our in-person things to kind of hash things out, because you can hash things out better in person through a conversation than you can like behind your keyboard. You know, people are nasty behind their keyboard. They're less respectful. Sure. And like now all the opportunities for a public gathering and speaking and, you know, fleshing things out, well, that's been terminated. And just think about every great time in humanity, like the, you know, I'm not the Renaissance, but it was kind of started in public squares where people could exchange ideas, you know, like coffee shops near colleges or whatever. And they're just trying to like feed us a lot of lies and shut down opportunities to talk about it in person and flood the internet with misinformation.
Yep. They're going to shut down Dunkin' Donuts next.
Oh, not my Dunkin'. No,
they're going there. They have to stop us plotting. We're plotting to overthrow the government through at Dunkin' Donuts.
You can't stop Dunkin' Donuts though, because guess what, Charlie? America runs on Dunkin'.
There you go. Yeah,
that's, you would think I was sponsored.
You would think so. You're sponsored by Adam and Eve and Dunkin' Donuts. Get your fleshlight at DunkinDonuts.com.
She dreams, yeah. But like we have to be the Dunkin' Donuts, and we have to like keep trucking and keep learning and just being there for people.
Well, if people in your audience are interested in hearing my show is called Macro Aggressions. It is available on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, David Icke's video platform, Iconic, and also on Rockfin. And if you are in my audience, Chrissy Mayer podcast is something you might want to check out, because there's some interesting shit going on there. And of course, she is a frequent contributor on the Union of the Unwanted. The Union of the Unwanted, for those that don't know, is a group podcast that I've been doing with Ricky Verandas and Sam Tripoli and Midnight Mike. It started out of a four-person podcast that we did, and Mike threw out the name. We're kind of like the Union of the Unwanted. We were talking about all getting deplatformed and stuff like that. And it turned into this group podcast that we've been doing. We've done it 17 weeks, 17 episodes now. We do it twice a month on Mondays. And we have interesting roundtable discussions and bring fascinating people in, like Dr. Judy came in, and we had crazy Roger Stone stop by. We had Del Bigtree. We've had a variety of people there. So it's always fascinating. So for people that are looking, you know, if you're cooped up in your house and you're looking for things to do, we've got a variety of shows for you to check out.
Yeah, it's kind of like trust the science or don't. It should be your choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So
this was fun. Thank you so much, Charlie.
This was fun. Thanks for doing it. For getting together and co-mingling, cross-pollinating our audiences, which sounds kind of dirty and kind of hot at the same time. I don't know.
Speaking of cross-pollinating, I will be performing. I have a couple of, if you're still listening to this, God bless you. I will be performing at Comedians of the Compound February 26th in Royersford, Pennsylvania at Soul Joel's Comedy Club and Lounge. And then I'll also be performing February 19th and 20th at the Dallas-Fort Worth Hyenas. So get your tickets now. Would love to see you guys, meet you guys, and make jokes about Hunter Biden.
Oh, that sounds like a great time. and you can catch me twice a week on Macroaggressions, once as a video interview and once as a monologue. And I like to get into topics that interest me. And usually that is government state-sponsored fuckery and the lies of the mainstream media and things like that. And I like to talk to interesting people like you. So thanks.
And then also me. Now, do you know, Charlie, I thought for a while that you were sitting in a hospital bed. Like the first time I saw your setup, I was like, oh my God, maybe he's in the hospital. But yeah. I think it's just couch.
I'm in this comfortable rocking chair that my wife said when she was pregnant, she said, I want to get this chair. This, it's got like an ottoman. She's like, I'm going to sit there with the baby. And I was like, I looked at the price tag on it and I was like, oh, holy shit. Okay. Yes. Let's get it. That sounds reasonable. Like, not the hill to die on. And now I've got this. Now I'm in the chair. I'm in the comfortable rocking chair. I'm not in a hospital, though I might be institutionalized at some point. That is that is not out of the realm of possibility.
We're all going to be there together, though. I mean, yeah, you're like, now this is my chair with my baby, the podcast.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll save you a seat at the FEMA camp. How's that?
Oh, good. Okay, good. I'll French braid your hair.
On movie night, we can sit there with the Thorazine that they inject into us, and we'll just sit there drooling. Well, it's been fun. Thanks for coming on my show, or thanks for me coming on your show, or however it works. You got your peanut butter and my chocolate. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks. This was great. Sorry, we left it on such a dark note, guys. But yeah, we love you.
Whatever. It's
until next time.
Yeah, until next time. Thanks, everybody.
Don't trust the science.
Don't trust the science.